Ordinary Men and Women. Luncheon of Nationalist Party on balcony overlooking the market. Cigars, scotch, polite belches. The party leader strides about in a jalaba, smoking a cigar and drinking scotch. He wears expensive English shoes, loud socks, garters, muscular hairy legs, overall effect of successful gangster in drag. P.L., pointing dramatically.
Look out there. What do you see?
Lieutenant. Huh? Why, I see the market. P.L.
No, you don't. You see men and women. Ordinary men and women. Going about their ordinary everyday tasks. Leading their ordinary lives. That's what we need.
A street boy climbs over the balcony rail. Lieutenant, no, we do not want to buy any used condoms. Cut! P.L.
Wait! Come in, my boy. Sit down. Have a cigar. Have a drink.
He paces around the boy like an aroused tomcat. P.L.
What do you think about the French?
Huh? P.L.
The French. The colonial bastards who is sucking your live corpuscles.
Look, mister, it costs 200 francs to suck my corpuscle. Haven't lowered my rate since the year of the Rinderpest when all the tourists died, even the Scandinavians.
P.L.
You see? This is pure, uncut, boy in the street.
Lieutenant, you sure can pick 'em, boss.
M.I. never misses.
P.L.
No, look, kid. Let's put it this way. The French have dispossessed you of your birthright.
You mean like friendly finance? They got this toothless Egyptian eunuch does the job. They figure he aroused less antagonism, you dig. He always take down his pants to show you his condition. Now I'm just a poor old eunuch trying to keep up my habit. Lady, I'd like to give you an extension on that artificial kidney. I got a job to do is all. Disconnect her, boys. He shows his gums in a feeble snarl. Not for nothing am I known as Nelly the Repossessor. So they disconnect my own mother, the sainted old gash, and she swell up and turn black, and the whole souk stink of piss, and the neighbors beef to the Board of Health, and my father say, it's the will of Allah. She won't piss any more of my loot down the drain. Sick people disgust me already. When some citizen start telling me about his cancer of the prostate or his rotting septum make with that purulent discharge, I tell him, you think I'm interested to hear about your horrible old condition? I am not interested at all.
P.L. All right. Cut.
You hate the French, don't you?
Mister, I hate everybody. Dr. Benway says it's metabolic. I got this condition of the blood. Arabs and Americans got it special. Dr. Benway is concocting this serum.
P.L.
Benway is an infiltrating Western agent.
Lieutenant Number One, a rampant French Jew. Lieutenant Number Two, a hog-balled, black-ass, communist Jew nigger.
P.L. Shut up, you fool.
Lieutenant Number Two, sorry, Chief, I'm after being stationed in Pigeonhole.
P.L. Don't go near Benway.
Aside,
I wonder if this will go down. You never know how primitive they are. Confidentially, he's a black magician.
Lieutenant Number One,
he's got this resident djinn.
Uh-huh. Well, I got a date with a high-type American client, a real classy fella.
P.L.
Don't you know it's shameful to peddle your ass to the alien unbelieving pricks?
Well, that's a point of view. Have fun.
P.L.
Likewise.
Exit boy.
P.L. They're hopeless, I tell you. Hopeless.
Lieutenant Number One. What's with this serum?
P.L. I don't know, but it sounds ominous. We'd better put a telepathic direction finder on Benway. The man's not to be trusted. Might do almost anything. Turn a massacre into a sex orgy.
Lieutenant Number One. Or a joke.
P.L. Precisely. Arty type. No principles.
American housewife, opening a box of Lux.
Why don't it have an electric eye? The box flip open when it see me and hand itself to the automat handyman. He should put it in a water already. The handyman is out of control since Thursday. He'd been getting physical with me, and I didn't put it in his combination at all. And the garbage disposal unit snapping at me, and the nasty old mixmaster keep trying to get up under my dress. I got the most awful cold, and my intestines is all constipated. I'm going to put it in the handyman's combination. He should administer me a high colonic already.
Salesman. He is something between an aggressive lata and a timid sender.
Recollect when I am traveling with K.E., hottest idea man in the gadget industry. Think of it, he snaps, a cream separator in your own kitchen. K.E., my brain reels at the thought. It's 5, maybe 10, yes, maybe 20 years away, but it's coming. I'll wait, K.E., no matter how long it is, I'll wait. When the priority numbers are called up yonder, I'll be there. It was K.E. put out the octopus kit for massage parlors, barbershops, and Turkish baths, with which you can administer a high colonic, an unethical massage, a shampoo, whilst cutting the client's toenails and removing his blackheads. And the M.D.'s can-do kit for busy practitioners will take out your appendix, tuck in a hernia, pull a wisdom tooth, ectomize your piles, and circumcise you. Well, K.E. is such an atomic salesman, if he runs out of octopus kits, he is subject by sheer charge to sell an M.D. can-do to a barber shop, and some citizen wakes up with his piles cut out. Jesus, Homer, what kind of creep joint you running here? I've been gang-fucked. Well, land sakes, I was just aiming to administer our complimentary high colonic free and gratis on Thanksgiving Day. K.E. must have sold me the wrong kit again.
Male hustler.
What a boy has to put up with in this business. God, the propositions I get, you wouldn't believe it. They want to play lata. They want to merge with my protoplasm. They want a replica cutting. They want to suck my orgones. They want to take over my past experience and leave old memories that disgust me. I am fucking this citizen, so I think, a straight John at last. But he comes to a climax and turns himself into some kind of awful crab. I told him, Jack, I don't have to stand still for such a routine like this. You can take that business to Walgreens. Some people got no class to them. Another horrible old character just sits there and telepathizes and creams in his dry goods. So nasty.
The bum boys fall back in utter confusion to the brink of the Soviet network where Cossacks hang partisans to the wild wail of bagpipes, and the boys march up Fifth Avenue to be met by Jimmy Walkover with the keys to the kingdom and no strings attached. Carry them loose in your pocket. Why so pale and wan, fair bugger? Smell of dead leeches in a rusty tin can latch onto that live wound, suck out the body and blood and bones of Jesus, leave him paralyzed from the waist down. Yield up thy forms, boy, to thy sugar daddy, got the exam 3 years early and know all the answer books, fix the World Series. Slunk traffickers tail a pregnant cow to her labor. The farmer declares a couvade, rolls screaming in bullshit. The veterinarian wrestles with a cow skeleton. The traffickers machine gun each other, dodging through the machinery and silos, storage bins, haylofts, and mangers of a vast red barn. The calf is born. The forces of death melt in mourning. Farm boy kneels reverently. His throat pulses in the rising sun. Junkies sitting on the courthouse steps waiting on the man. Rednecks in black Stetsons and faded Levi's tie a Negro boy to an old iron lamppost and cover him with burning gasoline. The junkies rush over and draw the flesh smoke deep into their aching lungs. They really got relief. The county clerk.
So there I was, sitting in front of Jed's store over in Cunt Lake, my Peter standing up straight as a jackpine under my Levi's, just a-pulsing in the sun. Well, old Doc Scranton walks by, a good old boy, too. There's not a finer man in this valley than Doc Scranton.
He's got a prolapsed asshole, and when he wants to get screwed, he'll pass you his ass on 3 feet of intestine. If he's a mind to, he can drop out a piece of gut, reaches from his office clear over to Roy's beer place, and it go feeling around looking for a Peter, just a-feeling around like a blind worm. So old Doc Scranton sees my Peter, and he stops like a pointing dog, and he says to me, "Luke, I can take your pulse from here."
Brubeck and young Seward fight with hog castrators through barns and cages and yipping kennels. Whinnying horses bear great yellow teeth. Cows bellow, dogs howl, copulating cats scream like babies. A pen of huge hogs, spines bristling, give a great Bronx cheer. Brubeck, the unsteady, has fallen to the sword of young Seward. Clutches at blue intestines spurting from an 8-inch gash. Young Seward cuts off Brubeck's cock and holds it, pulsing in the smoky rose sunrise. Brubeck screams. Subway brakes spit ozone.
"Stand back, folks. Stand back."
They say somebody pushed him. He was weaving around unsteady like he couldn't see good. Too much smoke in the eyes, I guess.
Mary, the lesbian governess, has slipped to the pub floor on a bloody Kotex. A 300-pound fag tramples her to death with pathic whinnies. He sings in hideous falsetto,
"He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword."
He pulls a gilded wooden sword and chops the air. His corset flies off and whistles into the dartboard. The old bullfighter's sword buckles on bone and whistles into the heart of the espontaneo, pins his unconsummate valor to the stands.
So this elegant faggot comes to New York from Cunt Lick, Texas, and he is the most piss-elegant fag of them all. He is taken up by old women of the type batting on young fags, toothless old predators too weak and too slow to run down other prey. Old moth-eating tigress, it's your turn into a fag-eater. So this citizen, being an arty and crafty fag, begins making costume jewelry and jewelry sets. Every rich old gash in Greater New York wants he should do her sets, and he's making money, 21, El Morocco, Stork, but no time for sex, and all the time worrying about his rep. He begins playing the horses, supposed to be something manly about gambling, God knows why, and he figures it'll build him up to be seen at the track. Not many fags play the horses, and those that play lose more than the others. They're lousy gamblers, plunge in a losing streak and hedge when they win, which being the pattern of their lives. Now every child knows there is one law of gambling. Winning and losing come in streaks. Plunge when you win, fold when you lose. I once knew a fag dip into the till, not the whole 2,000 at once, on the nose, win, or sing sing, not our Gertie. Oh no, a deuce at a time. So he loses and loses and loses some more. One day he's about to put a rock in a set when the obvious occur. "Of course I'll replace it later." Famous last words. So all that winter, one after the other, the diamonds, emeralds, pearls, rubies, and star sapphires of the haute monde go in hock and replaced by queer replicas. So the opening night of the Met, this old hag appear, as she thinks, resplendent in her diamond tiara. So this other old whore approach and say, "Oh, Biggles, you're so smart to leave the real ones at home. I mean, we're simply mad to go around tempting fate." "You're mistaken, my dear. These are real." "Oh, but Miggles, darling, they're not. I mean, ask your jeweler. Well, just ask anybody." "Ha ha." So a Sabbath is hastily called. Lucy Bradshinkle, look to thy emeralds. All these old witches examining their rocks like a citizen find leprosy on himself. "My chicken blood ruby, my black opals." Old bitch married so many times so many gooks and spicks she don't know her accent from her ass. "My star sapphire," shriek a pool de luxe. "Oh, it's all so awful. I mean, they are strictly from Woolworth's. There's only one thing to do. I'm going to call the police, says a strong-minded, outspoken old thing. And she clump across the floor on her low heels and calls a fuzz. Well, the faggot draws a deuce. And in the box, he meets this cat who is some species of cheap hustler. And love sets in, or at least a facsimile thereof, convince the parties in the first and second parts. As continuity would have it, they are sprung at the same time, more or less, and take up residence in a flat on the Lower East Side. And Cook Inn and both are working legit, modest jobs, so Brad and Jim know happiness for the first time. Enter the powers of evil. Lucy Bradshinkle has come to say all is forgiven. She has faith in Brad and wants to set him up in a studio. Of course, he will have to move to the East 60s. This place is impossible, darling, and your friend... And a safe mob wants Jim back to drive a car. This is a step up, you dig. Offer from citizens hardly see him before. Will Jim go back to crime? Will Brad succumb to the blandishments of an aging vampire, a ravening maw? Needless to say, the forces of evil are routed and exit with ominous snarls and mutterings. The boss isn't gonna like this.
I don't know why I ever wasted my time with you, you cheap, vulgar little fairy.
The boys stand at the tenement window, their arms around each other, looking at the Brooklyn Bridge. A warm spring wind ruffles Jim's black curls and the fine, hennaed hair of Brad. Well, Brad, what's for supper? You just go in the other room and wait. Playfully, he shoos Jim out of the kitchen and puts on his apron. Dinner is Lucy Bradshinkle's cunt sagnon, cooked in Kotex papillon. The boys eat happily, looking into each other's eyes. Blood runs down their chins.
Let the dawn blue as a flame cross the city. The backyards are clean of fruit, and the ash pits give up their hooded dead.
Could you show me the way to Tipperary, lady?
Over the hills and far away to blue grass, across the bone meal of lawn to the frozen pond where suspended goldfish wait for the spring squaw man. The screaming skull rolls up the back stairs to bite off the cock of erring husband, taking dour advantage of his wife's earache to do that which is inconvenient. The young landlubber dons a southwester, beats his wife to death in the shower. Benway.
Don't take it so hard, kid. Jedermann macht eine kleine Dummheit.
Everyone makes a little dumbness. Schaefer.
I tell you, I can't escape a feeling, well, of evil about this.
Benway.
Balderdash, my boy. We're scientists, pure scientists. Disinterested research, and damn be him who cries, hold too much. Such people are no better than party poops.
Schaefer. Yes, yes, of course. And yet, I can't get that stench out of my lungs.
Benway, irritably.
None of us can. Never smelled anything remotely like it. Where was I? Oh, yes. What would be result of administering curare plus iron lung during acute mania? Possibly the subject, unable to discharge his tensions in motor activity, would succumb on the spot like a jungle rat. Interesting cause of death, what?
Schaefer is not listening.
You know, he says impulsively, I think I'll go back to plain old-fashioned surgery. The human body is scandalously inefficient. Instead of a mouth and an anus to get out of order, why not have one all-purpose hole to eat and eliminate? We could seal up nose and mouth, fill in the stomach, make an air hole direct into the lungs where it should have been in the first place.
Benway.
Why not one all-purpose blob? Did I ever tell you about the man who taught his asshole to talk? His whole abdomen would move up and down, you dig, farting out the words. It was unlike anything I ever heard. This ass talk had a sort of gut frequency. It hit you right down there like you gotta go. You know, when the old colon gives you the elbow and it feels sort of cold inside, and you know all you have to do is turn loose? Well, this talking hits you right down there, a bubbly, thick, stagnant sound, a sound you could smell. This man worked for a carnival, you dig, and to start with, it was like a novelty ventriloquist act. Real funny, too, at first. He had a number he called the Better Ole that was a scream, I tell you. I forget most of it, but it was clever. Like, oh, I say, are you still down there, old thing? Nah, I had to go relieve myself. After a while, the ass started talking on its own. He would go in without anything prepared, and his ass would ad-lib and toss the gags back at him every time. Then it developed sort of teeth-like, little raspy, incurving hooks, and started eating. He thought this was cute at first and built an act around it, but the asshole would eat its way through his pants and start talking on the street, shouting out it wanted equal rights. It would get drunk, too, and have crying jags. Nobody loved it, and it wanted to be kissed, same as any other mouth. Finally, it talked all the time, day and night. You could hear him for blocks, screaming at it to shut up, and beating it with his fist, and sticking candles up it. But nothing did any good, and the asshole said to him, "It's you who will shut up in the end, not me, because we don't need you around here anymore. I can talk and eat and shit." After that, he began waking up in the morning with a transparent jelly like a tadpole's tail all over his mouth. This jelly was what the scientists call UNDT, undifferentiated tissue, which can grow into any kind of flesh on the human body. He would tear it off his mouth and the pieces would stick to his hands like burning gasoline jelly and grow there. Grow anywhere on him, a glob of it fell. So finally his mouth sealed over and the whole head would have amputated spontaneous. Did you know there is a condition occurs in parts of Africa and only among Negroes where the little toe amputates spontaneously? Except for the eyes, you dig. That's one thing the asshole couldn't do, was see. It needed the eyes. But nerve connections were blocked and infiltrated and atrophied, so the brain couldn't give orders anymore. It was trapped in the skull, sealed off. For a while you could see the silent, helpless suffering of the brain behind the eyes. Then finally the brain must have died, because the eyes went out, and there was no more feeling in them than a crab's eye on the end of a stalk. That's the sex that passes the censor. Squeezes through between bureaus, because there's always a space between. In popular songs and grade B movies, giving away the basic American rottenness, spurting out like breaking boils, throwing out globs of that UNDT to fall anywhere and grow into some degenerate, cancerous life form, reproducing a hideous, random image. Some would be entirely made of penis-like erectile tissue, others viscera barely covered over with skin, clusters of 3 and 4 eyes together, crisscross of mouth and assholes, human parts shaken around and poured out any way they fell. The end result of complete cellular representation is cancer. Democracy is cancerous. And bureaus are its cancer. A bureau takes root anywhere in the state, turns malignant like the narcotic bureau, and grows, always reproducing more of its own kind until it chokes the host if not controlled or excised. Bureaus cannot live without a host, being true parasitic organisms. A cooperative, on the other hand, can live without the state. That is the road to follow. The building up of independent units to meet needs of the people who participate in the functioning of the unit. A bureau operates on opposite principle of inventing needs to justify its existence. Bureaucracy is wrong as a cancer. A turning away from the human evolutionary direction of infinite potentials and differentiation and independent spontaneous action to the complete parasitism of a virus. It is thought that the virus is a degeneration from more complex life form. It may at one time have been capable of independent life. Now it has fallen to the borderline between living and dead matter. It can exhibit living qualities only in a host, by using the life of another, the renunciation of life itself, a falling towards inorganic, inflexible machine, towards dead matter. Bureaus die when the structure of the state collapses. They are as helpless and unfit for independent existences as a displaced tapeworm or a virus that has killed the host. In Timbuktu, I once saw an Arab boy who could play a flute with his ass, and the fairies told me he was really an individual in bed. He could play a tune up and down the organ, hitting the most erogenously sensitive spots, which are different on everyone, of course. Every lover had his special theme song, which was perfect for him and rose to his climax. The boy was a great artist when it came to improvising new combines and special climaxes, some of them notes in the unknown, tie-ups of seeming discords that would suddenly break through each other and crash together with a stunning, hot, sweet impact.
Fats Terminal has organized a purple-assed baboon stick from motorcycles. The huntsmen have gathered for the hunt breakfast in the Swarm Bar, a hangout for elegant pansies. The huntsmen strut about with imbecile narcissism in black leather jackets and studded belts, flexing their muscles for the fags to feel. They all wear enormous falsy baskets. Every now and then one of them throws a fag to the floor and pisses on him. They are drinking victory punch, compounded of paregoric, Spanish fly, heavy black rum, Napoleon brandy, and canned heat. The punch is served from a great hollow gold baboon, crouched in snarling terror, snapping at a spear in his side. He twists the baboon's balls and punch runs out his cock. From time to time, hot hors d'oeuvres pop out the baboon's ass with a loud farting noise. When this happens, the huntsmen roar with bestial laughter, and the fags shriek and twitch. Master of the hunt is Captain Everhard, who was drummed up out of the Queen's 69th for palming a jockstrap in a game of strip poker. Motorcycles careening, jumping, overturning, spitting, shrieking, shitting baboons fighting hand to hand with the huntsmen. Riderless cycles scrabbling about in the dust like crippled insects, attacking baboon and huntsman. The party leader rides in triumph through yipping crowds. A dignified old man shits at sight of him and tries to sacrifice himself under the wheels of the car. Party leader.
Don't sacrifice your old dried-up person under the wheels of my brand-new Buick Roadmaster convertible with white-walled tires, hydraulic windows, and all the trimmings. It's a chip Arab trick. Look to thy accent, Ivan. Save it for fertilizer. We refer you to the conservation department to consummate your swell purpose.
The washing boards are down and the sheets are sent to the laundromat. Lose those guilty stains. Emmanuel prophesies a second coming. There's a boy across the river with an ass like a peach. Alas, I was no swimmer and lost my clementine. The junkie sits with needle poised to the message of blood, and the con man palpates the mark with fingers of rotten ectoplasm. Fade out. Dr. Berger's Mental Health Hour. Technician.
Now listen, I'll say it again, and I'll say it slow. Yes, he nods, and make with a smile. The smile.
He shows his false teeth in hideous parody of a toothpaste ad.
We like apple pie, and we like each other. It's just as simple as that. And make it sound simple, country simple. Look bovine, won't you? You want the switchboard again? Or the pail?
Subject, cured criminal psychopath.
No, no. What's this bovine?
Technician.
Look like a cow.
Subject, with cow's head.
Moo. Moo.
Technician, starting back.
Too much. No, just look square, you dig, like a nice popcorn, John.
Subject.
A mark?
Technician.
Well, not exactly a mark.
not enough larceny in this citizen. He is after light concussion. You know the type. Telepathic sender and receiver excised. The serviceman look. Action. Camera.
Subject. Yes, we like apple pie. His stomach rumbles loud and long. Streamers of saliva hang off his chin. Dr. Berger looks up from some notes. He looked like Jewish owl with black glasses. The light hurt his eyes.
I think he is an unsuitable subject. See, he reports to disposal.
Technician, well, we could cut that rumble out of the soundtrack, stick a drain in his mouth, and Dr. Berger.
No, he's unsuitable.
He looks at the subject with distaste, as if he commits some terrible faux pas, like look for crabs in Mrs. Worldley's drawing room. Technician, resigned and exasperated.
Bring in the cured swish.
The cured homosexual is brought in. He walks through invisible contours of hot metal. He sits in front of the camera and starts arranging his body in a countrified sprawl. Muscles move into place like autonomous parts of a severed insect. Blank stupidity blurs and softens his face.
Yes, he nods and smiles. We like apple pie and we like each other. It's just as simple as that.
He nods and smiles and nods and smiles and...
Cut! Screams the technician. The cured homosexual is led out, nodding and smiling. Play it back.
The artistic advisor shakes his head. It lacks something. To be specific, it lacks health.
Berger leaps to his feet. Preposterous! It's health incarnate!
Artistic advisor, primly.
Well, if you have anything to enlighten me on this subject, I'll be very glad to hear it, Dr. Berger. If you, with your brilliant mind, can carry the project alone, I don't know why you need an art advisor at all.
He exits with hand on hip, singing softly. I'll be around when you're gone. Technician.
Send in the cured writer.
He's got what?
Buddhism. Oh, he can't talk. Well, say so at first, won't you?
He turns to Berger.
The writer can't talk. Over-liberated, you might say. Of course, we can dub him.
Berger, sharply.
No, that wouldn't do at all. Send in someone else.
Technician.
Those two was my white-haired boys. I put in 100 hours overtime on those kids, for which I am not yet compensated.
Berger.
Apply triplicate. Form 6090.
Technician.
You telling me how to apply already?
Now look, Doc, you say something once.
To speak of a healthy homosexual, it's like how can a citizen be perfectly healthy with terminal cirrhosis? Remember?
Berger.
Yes. Very well put, of course.
He snarls viciously.
I don't pretend to be a writer.
He spits the word out with such ugly hate that the technician reels back, appalled. Technician, aside. I can't bear the smell of him, like old rotten replica cultures, like the farts of a man-eating plant, like Schaefer's, parodies, academic manner, strange serpent.
What I'm getting at, Doc, is how can you expect a body to be healthy with its brains washed out? Or put it another way, can a subject be healthy in absentia by proxy already?
Berger leaps up.
I got the health. All the health. Enough health for the whole world, the whole fucking world. I cure everybody.
The technician looks at him sourly. He mixes a bicarbonate of soda and drinks it and belches into his hand.
20 years I've been a martyr to dyspepsia.
Lovable Lou, your brainwashed papa, say,
I'm strictly for fish, and I love it. Confidentially, girls, I use Steely Dan's Yokohama, wouldn't you? Danny boy never lets you down. Besides, it's more hygienic that way and avoids all kind of awful contacts, leave a man paralyzed from the waist down. Women have poison juices.
So I told him, I said, Dr. Berger, don't think you can pass your tired old brainwashed bells on me. I'm the oldest faggot in the upper baboon's asshole.
Switch envelops in clip-clap joint where fraudulent girls put the B on you in favor of the house 666, and there is no health in them. Clap broads rotten to the apple corer of my unconsummate cock, who shot cock robin. The sparrow falls to my trustful Webley, and a drop of blood gathers at his beak. Lord Jim has turned bright yellow in the woe-withered moon of morning like white smoke against the blue stuff, and shirts whip in a cold spring wind on limestone cliffs across the river, Mary, and the dawn is broken in two pieces like Dillinger on the Lamster way to the Biograph. Smell of neon and atrophied gangsters, and the criminal manque nerves himself to crack a pay toilet, sniffing ammonia in a bucket. A caper, he says. I'll pull this capon. Caper. Party leader, mixing another scotch. The next riot goes off like a football play. We have imported 1,000 bone-fed blue ribbon latas from Indochina. All we need is one riot leader for the whole unit. His eyes sweep the table. Lieutenant, but Chief, can't we get them started and they imitate each other like a chain reaction? The diseurs undulate through the market.
What's a lata do when he's alone?
P.L.
That's a technical point. We'll have to consult Benway. Personally, I think someone should follow through on the whole operation.
I do not know, he said, for lack of requisite points and ratings to secure the appointment.
They have no feelings, said Dr. Benway, slashing his patient to shreds. Just reflexes. I urge distraction.
The age of consent is when they learn to talk.
May all your troubles be little ones, as one child molester say to the other.
It's really ominous, my dear, when they start trying on your clothes and give you those doppelganger kicks.
Frantic queen trying to claw sport jacket off departing boy.
My $200 cashmere jacket, she screeches.
So he has an affair with this Lata, wants to dominate someone complete, the silly old thing. The Lata imitates all his expressions and mannerisms and simply sucks all the persona right out of him, like a sinister ventriloquist's dummy. You've taught me everything you are. I need a new amigo. And poor Boo Boo can't answer for himself, having no self left.
Junkie. So there we are in this no-horse town, strictly from cough syrup. Professor.
Coprophilia, gentlemen, might be termed the redundant vice.
20 years an artist in the blue movies, and I never sink so low as fake an orgasm. No good junkie cunt hang up her unborn child. Women are no good, kid.
This dead-level conscious sex. Might as well take your old clothes to the laundromat.
And right in the heat of passion, he says, do you have an extra shoe tree? She tell me how 40 Arabs drag her into a mosque and rape her, presumably in sequence, though they are bad to push. All right, end of the line, Ali. Really, my pet's most distasteful routine I ever listened to. I was after being raped myself by a pride of rampant boars.
A group of sour nationalists sits in front of the Sargasso, sneering at the queens and jabbering in Arabic. Clem and Jody sweep in, dressed like the capitalist in a communist mural. Clem.
We have come to feed on your backwardness.
Jody.
In the words of the immortal bard, to batten on these moors.
Nationalist.
Swine. Filth. Sons of dogs! Don't you realize my people are hungry?
Clem.
That's the way I like to see them.
The nationalist drops dead, poisoned by hate. Dr. Benway rushes up.
Stand back, everybody. Give me air.
He takes a blood sample.
Well, that's all I can do. When you gotta go, you gotta go.
The traveling queer Christmas tree burns bright on the rubbish heaps of home where boys jack off in the school toilet. How many young spasms on that old oaken seat, worn smooth as gold? Sleep long in the valley of the Red River where cobwebs hang black windows and boy bones. Two Negro fags shriek at each other. Fag number one.
Shut up, you cheap granuloma gash. You known as Loathsome Lou in the trade.
D says,
the girl with the interesting groin.
Fag number two.
Meow, meow.
He slips on leopard skin and iron claws. Fag number one.
Uh-oh, a society woman.
He flees screaming through the market, pursued by the grunting, growling transvestite. Clem trips a spastic cripple and takes his crutches. He does a hideous parody, twitching and drooling. Riot noises in the distance, 1,000 hysterical Pomeranians. Shop shutters slam like guillotines. Drinks and trays hang in the air as the patrons are whisked inside by the suction of panic. Chorus of fags.
We'll all be raped! I know it! I know it!
They rush into a drugstore and buy a case of KY. Party leader holding up his hand dramatically.
The voice of the people.
Pearson, the money changeling, comes a-cropping the short grass seized by the extortionate commandant of karma, hiding in a vacant lot with the garter snakes, to be sniffed out by the scrutable dog. The market is empty except for an old drunkard of indeterminate nationality, passed out with his head in a pissoir. The rioters erupt into the market, yipping and screaming, "Death to the French!" and tear the drunkard to pieces. Salvador Hassan, squirming at a keyhole.
Just look at those expressions, the whole beautiful protoplasmic being, all exactly alike.
He dances the liquefactionist jig. Whimpering queen falls to the floor in an orgasm.
Oh, God, it's too exciting, like a million hot, throbbing cocks.
Benway.
Like to run a blood test on those boys.
A portentously inconspicuous man, gray beard and gray face and shabby brown jalaba, sings in slight, unplaceable accent without opening his lips.
Oh, you dolls, you great big beautiful dolls.
Squads of police with thin lips, big noses, and cold gray eyes move into the market from every entrance street. They club and kick the rioters with cold, methodical brutality. The rioters have been carted away in trucks. The shutters go up, and the citizens of Interzone step out into the square, littered with teeth and sandals and slippery with blood. The sea chest of the dead man is in the embassy. And the vice consul breaks the news to Mother. There is no morning, daybreak.
N'existe plus.
If I knew, I'd be glad to tell you. Either way is a bad move to the East Wing. He has gone through an invisible door. Not here. You can look any place.
No good. No bueno.
Hustling myself.
Clumflide.
Note, old-time veteran schmeckers, faces beaten by gray junk weather, will remember. In 1920s, a lot of Chinese pushers around found the West so unreliable, dishonest, and wrong, they all packed in. So when an Occidental junkie came to score, they say,
No glot.
Clumflide.